Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome once again to FMG Live. I'm your host, John A. Guffey. Happy Labor Day weekend to everyone. Just wanted to give a huge shout out to everyone who started following us on Twitter and Facebook this week. Thank you so much. Again, want to remind everyone we're going to have some big changes coming up very soon as we begin to film our FMG Live episodes. And we're also going to do a little bit of rebranding, bringing it under the ministry title of Our Father's House, NC. So we're very excited about that coming up too. Wanted to talk this weekend about Labor Day a little bit, and you know, what does that, not so much about what Labor Day means, but what does it mean to spend time with family, and why is that important, and what does the Bible say about that? You know, in Psalms, the psalmist says, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You see, a lot of times we get really serious about God and about our Christian faith. I do it. And on this show, I'm usually very serious. And I'm talking about serious topics or serious subjects. But, you know, God doesn't mean for us to live. And Christians get painted as this image of, you know, like in the movie Footloose with Kevin Bacon from the 80s, where, you know, the town's against dancing because the local Christians don't believe in dancing or whatever, and craziness like that. Dancing's biblical. Dancing in church is biblical. You know, David danced in joy and in praise to God. I mean, things like that are silly and they're foolish to argue over. God created everything. He created music. He created art. God was the first artist. And God wants us to celebrate. God understands and knows that this life, after what Adam did and Eve did, by introducing sin into the garden and disobeying God, God understands that our life is hard sometimes. Our life is painful sometimes. And our life is difficult sometimes. But God doesn't want it to be like that all the time. He doesn't. It's not always the dark gray battlefield of spiritual warfare every day. Now, sometimes it feels that way. I mean, there are weeks when I have looked at my beautiful wife, Dacia, and I have said, can we just have a day to catch our breath and regroup? You know, because it feels like just one day after another is just a hammering by the enemy of issues and attacks and everything can go wrong, going wrong. And, you know, the dishwasher breaks down, the car breaks down, the kids have to, you know, go to the principal's office at school. I mean, just all of those things attacking us and more. You know, the spiritual attacks, the depression, the attacks on, you know, our personal selves. Oh, you're not good enough. God doesn't love you. See, look at this failure in your life. See, you didn't get this. God must not love you. All of these things are present, but there's something else that's present, and we forget that, and that's joy. You see, that's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I love how he says that. He's like, we're going to do this. We will rejoice And we will be glad in it. Gosh darn it. Because this is the day which the Lord has made. The Lord's given us this day. And we're going to celebrate that. We're going to be happy. We're going to choose joy. Now you might say, well, you don't always get to choose joy. You're right. Someone passes away. Accident happens. Other challenges like that come up. No, it's hard to choose joy then. Might even be inappropriate. Might even be unable. But here on this Labor Day weekend, I challenge you to choose joy. And not to find it in the bottom of a bottle. Not to find it in a needle or in a pill bottle or online or in the arms of someone else's wife or someone else's husband. Find it in the arms of your family. Find the joy there. In Proverbs 15:15, the Bible says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. That's us, the afflicted. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. That's just what we were saying. That all of the days of the afflicted, all of our days are evil. But you know what? If we have a merry heart, we can have a continual feast. Now, sometimes it's hard to have that merry heart. And that's the challenge of that verse. Having a merry heart is hard sometimes. And it's not that we bury our head in the sand and we ignore negative things, we ignore bad things that happen, but it's that we choose not to let those things rob us of the joy of getting to be together. My wife and I were both had previous marriages, and so our family is a blended family. And sometimes that's challenging because she and I both grew up in completely nuclear, well, we actually grew up, both of us grew up with extended family. So for us, this is something that's very new and very different. And we don't always know what to do. And we don't always understand how it's going to affect our children or how it's going to affect us. And I am very grateful for my wife because she believes firmly in communication. And if you're a couple, on a side note, I'm going to tell you the number one thing, the best thing, the only thing that you need to do is communicate. Talk to each other. Talk it out. Talk it out always. And you're going to save that marriage. You're going to save that relationship. And that's all it takes is talking it out. So Daisha and I, we talk a lot about what's happening in our family and how the children feel, how we feel. Sometimes it can be hard, and sometimes it makes us, though, take a look at our past and say, well, why are we like this? Why do we think this way? Why do we feel this way? Sometimes it goes back to our past and the things that we have thought of in the past and the way we were raised and the environment that we were raised in. And we have to say, well, that environment's not there anymore, and it's not there for our kids, and you know we aren't able to recreate it, and so we have to come up with new solutions to solve the problems that blended families face, and all of that comes up, but you know. When it comes down to it, at the end of the day, we both came from broken marriages, and we have both had our families restored to us. She was a single mom, and I was a dad separated from his children. And God brought us together. So that her little girl has a dad all the time. the Lord delivered one of my sons back to me and restored our family. And that's a lot of joy that we should have. I'm so very grateful for that. And I thank God for it. But I don't always let the joy of that fill my heart the way that it should. I end up worrying about, you know, well, am I raising our daughter right? Am I raising my son right? Am I doing this right? Am I being a good husband? Am I being a good dad? That's a lot to bear. But God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to rejoice and be glad in the day. And I like how that the psalmist goes, going back to Psalms 118, verse 24, says, this is the day. Because this is something I've come to realize about God. Because God is in this relationship with us, and he wants us to trust him. That is his biggest deal. Okay? If you don't know God, I'm going to tell you a secret about God. The biggest thing that you can do is trust him. Because that's what he wants. God very much is a day by day. You know, we as human beings, we're planners. We want to plan. But you know, and this just occurs to me, Adam and Eve weren't. Adam and Eve lived every day in the garden, living that day. Because you see, there was no sin in their world. So they didn't have to plan for contingencies. They didn't have to worry about a hurricane crashing through the garden and taking out all the good fruit trees. You know, they didn't worry about insurance or a car payment or anything like that, or a mortgage or the house payment or getting a house or getting a new car or paying for braces or buying school clothes. They just lived. And while we can't get back to that, and, you know, running around in your backyard naked saying you're living like Adam and Eve isn't quite the same thing. And I don't think your neighbors will appreciate that. I know ours wouldn't. Trust me, me naked is not a pretty sight. That doesn't belong in any garden. Just stop and think, though, what it was like for them trusting God every day, getting to walk and talk with him every day, and getting to be around him, and that kind of joy that they must have had, not worrying about tomorrow. Unless the Lord comes between now and then, Tuesday's going to come. The sun will come, will go down tonight. It will come up tomorrow. It will go down tomorrow night, as long as the Lord permits it. And then Tuesday morning, that sun's going to come up. Some of you don't even get Labor Day off. I'm sorry about that. Sorry. I can remember when I was a kid, you know, holidays like that, everything was closed. Even the restaurants and the stores and all that. It wasn't the Labor Day sale needed to happen on Saturday and Sunday because by George on Monday, that store was going to be closed. And sometimes I think we should go back to that. Instead of trying to squeeze that extra day of sales out, let your employees go and enjoy the day. Just enjoy. And you see, the psalmist says this is the day, because in that day is what God wants us to rejoice in. He wants us to rejoice in today. Because we woke up and the sun came up and we're alive. And, you know, yes, we're here on earth, but God's with us. We're breathing. You might say, well, for some people, waking up is a terrible thing because they have a horrible life. There are some people out there with some pretty horrible lives and life situations. But God's there, and he's just waiting on them to trust him. He's waiting. He's got his hand held out, waiting for them to take it. He is literally standing by, waiting to jump in and save you. If you just ask him. Well, why doesn't he save us automatically? Because he gives us free will. He lets us make our choices. We have to choose to be saved. God's ready, able, and willing to give you joy and to put joy in your life. He wants you to trust him. And he wants you to love him and let him love you. And you be his child. And you just trust him like you would a parent. You know, when I was little, we trust our parents, you know. And even now, we were running a fireworks tent. You know, I mentioned that before as a fundraiser for our new church. And at one point, and please don't call BCS on me for this, I told my son, get out there, it began to rain. And I told my son, get out there with the umbrella and cover the generator. So my son grabs this old metal umbrella that we had, and he goes out in the rain and is standing over this generator with this long metal pole. And I thought, and he did that knowing full well the danger. He's 18 now. He was 17 when we did that, and he knew. And he even laughed about it. But you see, he did it because he trusted me. Now, was that a smart thing for me to do? Well, maybe not. Probably not. I'd never do it again. But at the end of the day, he did it because he trusted me. And sometimes God's going to tell you to do crazy things. Trust him. Because he's smarter than I am. A lot smarter than I am. So today, just for today, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about Tuesday. Just trust in the Lord and have some joy in the moment. Find some joy in the moment that you're in. You know, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples in the book of John, he says something that is very poignant. And he says something very powerful that is meant for you and me. And it's found in John chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. And beginning in verse 15, he says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." That's pretty powerful stuff. That's Jesus calling us into family. See, you're not a servant anymore. I call you friends. I call you family. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Jesus chooses us. And you know, sometimes in our own families, we need to choose. We need to be the one choosing to swallow pride or choosing to make that first phone call or choosing to take that first step to reconciliation. If you have family members that you haven't spoken to, does the reason really matter? Is the relationship that you have really worth whatever argument it was or is that separates you? Reach out. Choose as Jesus chose you. Choose your sister or your brother or your cousin or your mama or your daddy. Choose to be the one to reach out and say, hey, I know we don't agree on this thing, but my relationship with you is more important. Well, what if they slam the door or hang up on me? Well, they might. Try again. It's what Jesus does to us. He doesn't give up on us the first time we say no. See, he chooses us to be family. There are some people out there who can't. They don't have a chance to reach out. It's too late for them. Don't make it too late for you. Choose your family. And if you're hard-headed and you're like, I will not choose that person until they see it my way, quit being so dumb and prideful. Quit. Stop that. Show that person that their relationship with you matters more. If you're a parent and you've had a child, I'm going to tell you something. Someone once said to me, no one will hurt you more than your children. And in some ways, that's true. I've come to believe that at times because we open ourselves up so wholeheartedly to our children, they can manipulate that vulnerability. And sometimes we get so frustrated and so bothered by their inability to just do things the way we want them to. We throw up our hands. That's dumb too. Don't throw up your hands. Choose. Choose your daughter. Choose your son. Jesus chose you. Choose them. Reach out to them. You know, we like to have, I do like to have fun, and I'm planning on cooking up some burgers tomorrow and spending some time with family, trying to have some joy. Because with all of our responsibilities, the devil, he wants to remind us of those and remind us of our, the devil reminds you of three things. Your responsibilities, he reminds you of your inadequacies, and he reminds you of your failures. Now, inadequacies and failures we can understand coming from the devil. Those are things meant to drag us down. Why does the devil remind us of our responsibilities? To rob us of our joy. If you're lucky enough to have responsibilities that are also a joy, well, hey, you've hit the jackpot. You're immune. You have a defense. Automatic. But for a lot of us, our responsibilities are not our joy. They are drudgery. They are responsibilities. And I'm not saying forget them and don't do them, but I'm saying don't let them be used against you. When you sit around the dinner table tonight, don't worry about the spreadsheet you have to prepare for Tuesday. Don't worry about the work that you are planning on doing tomorrow instead of spending time with your family so you can be ahead on Tuesday morning when you go back to work. Figure out instead how you're going to spend time with your family, how you're going to play a game with your children, how you're going to take your wife on that long car ride that you've been talking about. Maybe even go to that, you know, go to the coast or go to the mountains or go somewhere and surprise her by spending the night. Or maybe you're going to finally cook that special dish you talked about cooking. Not meaning to be sexist and saying that women are only good for cooking. Maybe you're going to take your husband on that drive. Maybe you're going to surprise him and take him to that golf course you always wanted to go to. and you're going to, you know, walk the 18 with him, and, you know, talk to him the whole time and see him enjoy that and find some joy in it yourself and just being out with nature. Maybe the two of you are going to go play some tennis or go hike or sit and read on the couch curled up with the AC turned down low like it's wintertime, and so that you can both get under a blanket and snuggle. Here's one, couples. If you're alone in the house and it's just you and your husband or just you and your wife, build a blanket fort on the couch using the couch and some chairs. If you don't know how, look it up online. Have fun. Do something spontaneous. Do something crazy. Do something that will bring you joy. Create that memory. Don't play Adam and Eve in the backyard, though, okay? That's a memory you don't need to have. Well, actually, you all can have that memory, but that's a memory your neighbors don't need to have, okay? So no playing Adam and Eve in the backyard. Unless you have a fenced-in backyard, maybe. Wife's shaking her head at me saying, no, running around naked outside. Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry, didn't mean to be encouraging sinfulness in the place. So this evening, tomorrow, spend time with your family. Choose them. Love them. Don't let them get on your nerves. Don't let the devil steal your joy. I've said that before, and I'm saying it again, because it's really serious. See, laughter is a serious business. Laughter and joy are serious stuff. We have to take that seriously. You have to say, you know what, I'm going to laugh today. I'm going to laugh so hard, and I'm going to have some joy today. I claim it. I'm going to have it. Remember what Jesus said in John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Proverbs 15:15 says, he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. And Psalms 118, verse 24, this today is the day which the Lord has made. We'll rejoice. Rejoice. When was the last time you rejoiced? Be glad in it. Don't complain about having to clean the grill so you can fire it up. Clean it and get it done and fire it up so you can eat some good food. So you can break bread with friends and relatives and loved ones. Share the joy. Because see, that's the cool thing about joy, is you get to share it. And everyone around you benefits from it. Remember to join us next week at 3 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to have some further updates about our new YouTube channel that we're going to be creating and about our rebranding. And until then, have some joy, laugh, share time with family. Don't worry about Tuesday. Don't worry about Monday. Don't worry about Wednesday. Worry about today and how you're going to be happy in it. I'm John A. Guffey for FMG Live. Have a great night.